Welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry. As always, we are excited to bring you the best of the best in college softball. After the show, head on over to d1softball.com for all the latest news, scores, stories, and more. If you subscribe today, you can use Podcast 20, that's PODCAST20, for 20% off an annual subscription. We are excited for today's new episode that features Oregon's Hannah Delgado. And we've got special guests from Bat Club USA. We've got Eric and Oscar who'll be joining us later in the show. So stick around to hear from Bat Club USA. Ree, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing okay. I'm just, I'm trying to keep up with all these midweek games at the same time as catching up from the weekend. And then, you know me, I'm a basketball freak with college. So like this March Madness is hitting me. So I'm just like multiple screens, multiple days, kind of have to try to keep track of everything. There's so much softball. It's crazy. I love it, but it's crazy.
Yeah. So we had a big weekend last weekend and we've got games on every day of the week. And there's no break. And we are filming this, taping this on a Wednesday. So that means the OSU Minnesota game just finish up. It was a game that stopped on Sunday, 2-1. And now, today, it has ended in brilliant fashion. Ree, what happened in this OSU-Minnesota game? Because I was actually writing during it, but you got to actually see it.
Yeah, I'm later here. So I finished my writing to take a little break to watch some softball. And it was a wild one. 2-1 started, and it ended 7-6 on a walk-off walk in the 10th. Amber Peace walked in the bases. She got bases loaded, walked in the walk-off run. So not only did they, take like 3 days to get this eventually started again, and then they went 10 innings, and they still have another game that's being played right now. And then Oklahoma State has to drive tonight to Arkansas so they can drive to Memphis to play tomorrow night in the Memphis tournament. So they're going to test their adversity and stretch their capabilities of sleep deprivation in this next stretch here. You meant well when you want to replay these, but then it just obviously it goes extra innings and now it's okay. So I don't know if they have I hate the word drop dead, but those time limits. I don't know if they're going to put one on this game so they can make sure they don't get too late in the night, but it's pretty crazy.
That's another midweek game. And we've got Virginia Tech Clemson last weekend. Let's touch on that a little bit. It was a sweep for Virginia Tech. We knew Keeley Richard is going to be good in the circle for the Hokies. And, Ree, you talked in the preseason to Coach D'Amore about Lemley. She's really stepped up for the Hokies.
Yeah, the freshman Emma Lemley has been amazing. I mean, she's been all that he said she would be. When coaches are excited, they try not to pump up freshmen too much, most of them, but he wasn't hesitating. He's like, she's striking out everyone in practice, man. She's good. And it's been a great, it's fun to see. I've talked to some people around the program, just the kind of mother hen that Keeley Richard's been to Emma and kind of how they're that partnership they have. It's really been great. And yeah, they swept Clemson and she had her debut, 10 double-digit strikeouts against Clemson and complete game shutout. First time, I think, 14 years that Virginia Tech shut out a top 10 opponent. And then obviously Richard pitched both the others and Lemley came in to close game three and just complete. I mean, they got the timely hits. It was just a great series by Virginia Tech and it was at Clemson's home. So that's even a more crucial victory to start off the ACC play like that is really good.
So that's Virginia Tech. That was our game of the week that we were all watching. And Virginia Tech, the Hokies get the sweep. And I was out west at the Judy Garman Classic. Got to watch UCLA, Texas A&M. The Aggies made a little trip out west. Cal State Fullerton, Seattle U, Utah, LMU, Cal Poly, Penn, you name it.
In honor of Judy Garman, I actually got to sit next to Judy Garman for a couple innings and talk to her about her legacy at Cal State Fullerton. And they've got a brand new clubhouse, the Titans. So that should be open next week. But a lot of big play there. And, oh, I almost forgot Weber State. Incredible outing from the transfer, their BYU transfer, Johnson there for, or Henderson, excuse me, Henderson for Weber State. And really, biggest takeaways, UCLA looks like they're back in, you know, UCLA form, to be honest. I think we saw a little bit of a hiccup for them at St. Pete Clearwater. Ree and I, you and I were both there. LMU, their pitching staff is starting to kind of shape up nicely, and they've got some hitting. So keep an eye on LMU. And then, like I said, oh, ASU as well. I mean, there's loads of teams. There's a report up on the site on Terra Stakes. Take a look at my takeaways from the Judy Garman Classic. But that was last weekend, and heading out to another tournament again this weekend.
Wow. Yeah, you're going to, I mean, just horrible that we send you to these places, but I mean, it's just really, I feel bad for you when you head off to Aloe Watch in Hawaii. Tara's going to be there. That's the kind of reporting you get from D1 softball is we're on Aloe Watch and we're going to her home state, which honestly, I know everyone, like, you know, the whole, we'll get it, the attentional walk, it's, we get it, it's not great, it's Barry Bonds treatment, say it what he is. But I'm kind of excited that fate may have blessed her that she could maybe set this record in her home state with all the people she loves being able to watch. That's the one positive of all these, you know, chickening out and walking her. That's the good positive. So let's just hope Hawaii, maybe someone will slip a, you know, $20 bill with the pitcher time and just throw her one up there, right? Won't you?
So Baylor, Cal, and Hawaii, the Sooners will face Baylor, Cal, and Hawaii. So we'll see. Hopefully, the trip will be worth it. And mostly just want to see her have some ABs, to be honest. I think that's what the whole world is waiting for. And, you know, the same thing happened with Lauren Chamberlain, kind of same deal when people stopped throwing to her when she was.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on two sides of it. Like, I get it. Like, everyone's like, oh, don't wimp out, test her. But there's also, you know, when you're down 15-0 or something, but there's also at some point there's strategy involved. I mean, you're still trying to win the game. And if their lineup is ridiculous, so it's not like you're pitching around her to get to something terrible. But if you're, you know, you pitch around best players, I guess, you know, so I can see both sides of it. But at some point it's like, yeah, now you're just like, there's really no way you're going to win this game. So just pitch to her. So. But yeah, I'm hoping that you see someone pitch, at least getting at bat. She had like one good the other day, like one good pitch, and she went for it, but, she's not seeing much. So I hope you see that. I hope you get to see her at least get to, you know, show that she can hit and doesn't have to just walk to first base.
And I'm actually excited to go to Hawaii's stadium, Rainbow Wahine Stadium. I've never been to a game there, so I'll be out in Honolulu on the Aloe home run chase watch, whatever you want to call it. And so if you see me out there, come say hello. Any other games of the week that you're looking forward to, Ree? I know we've got a few that we have got some staff picks that we put up, but what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, well, the SEC begins play this week. So that's exciting because that's obviously just a monster of a conference every year. Two of the series I really have my eye on, Tennessee, Missouri this weekend. Granted, the level of play wasn't like, you know, top power programs they were going against in St. Thomas and Bradley, but still their offense looked ridiculous. And then Lauren Krings with the specs, as her nickname is, threw the perfect game. So Tennessee going up there in Columbia, they moved the start time up. So expecting a little weather. So Friday's game's a little earlier, but that's a series. And then Alabama heading down to Baton Rouge for LSU. That could be great. It just depends on which LSU team shows up. So, and still, I don't know if Lexi Kilfoyle, her foot's still an issue. She didn't play this last weekend. So we'll see if she's back or if they're going to have to rest her another week. But they definitely got some experience with their other pitchers. And then Montana is just kind of the one that is the closer and the starter or the closer. So those are two that I have my eye on for the SEC as they kind of kick off with some teams playing, some teams not.
Well, SEC play starts this week. We've got the ACC. We've got some matchups in the ACC as well. And again, I will be out in Hawaii in Honolulu, get to catch Baylor, Cal, and OU. UCLA is at home for their Stacey Winsberg tournament. And that's it for the week. We're going to head in into our guest of the week.
Yeah, well, we got on the podcast this week, Oregon's Hannah Delgado. Oregon was just kind of like Missouri, just hitting the leather off the ball. I mean, they were just blasting home runs. People were having career years in one weekend there at with Oregon's team last week at the Carolina Classic. So just wanted to get Hannah on to talk about it. She batted, you know, she was 12 for 17 at the plate. So we wanted to get her on to kind of tell us the mindset and kind of what they're doing up there with the bats and you know, they're having their home opener this weekend. So wanted to discuss that as well at the Jane. It's always a good atmosphere there. So really enjoyed speaking to her about that. We got her today before practice. She gave us all the insight into their breakout hitting session from this last weekend.
All right, here it is. Hannah Delgado from Oregon softball.
We are now joined on the D1 Softball Podcast by Oregon's Hannah Delgado. The sophomore utility is batting .444 with 3 doubles, 2 home runs, and 10 RBIs. Last weekend at the Carolina Classic, Delgado was 12 for 17 at the plate. That is a pretty, pretty good average right there. And Hannah, thank you so much for joining us this week on the D1 Softball Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, the team's performance at the plate last weekend, there was a power outbreak among all your teammates. What caused that? What do you think was the reason for that power outburst by everyone?
I think we just started to trust our plan a little bit more. We've been talking about really getting into each other and just feeling off each other, and hitting is contagious. So I think we just definitely fueled off of each other's energy. And that's what created all of that power. And I think from here on out, we just need to be really consistent with that.
Does the program in particular focus on anything when you're working on hitting? Is there something that you guys try to do intentionally during practice, or that you feel like has really been a big difference since you've gotten to college that you've worked on?
There's nothing really specific, but we do work on a lot of like change of speed, just different types of pitches. We do a lot of live, which I think is very beneficial for us. Seeing live arms is, I think, the best practice for me. And I think the rest of the team agrees. So I'd probably say that and situational stuff, like working on plays and all of that, really allows us to be versatile at the plate too.
This weekend, you finally get to play back at home. I mean, I know there's a lot of schools in the north and the weather's bad and everything, that they travel a lot, but you guys do too. And how exciting is it to know that you have the home opener coming up this weekend?
It's super exciting because we've been traveling for the past month now. It's been very exhausting, but it's been good to go to other places. But I think being at the Jane this weekend is really going to be great with all of our fans. And just the atmosphere of it all. We love playing at the Jane, and to finally have our home opener, we're just all really pumped for it.
For someone that hasn't been there, I mean, we've seen it on TV, I've been there once, but there's a lot of people that are listening that haven't. What makes the Jane such a great facility, and what makes the fans so special up there?
I think just how supportive they are. There's a lot of people that I like recognize, every game, and they're always there. And I just think how many people show up all the time too. It's a lot different from like travel ball in high school. Last year, me playing here, even with just a little bit of fans, I still felt like really, I don't know, just the energy was just great. And I think now that we're at full capacity, it's gonna be even better.
Yeah, it's an electric environment up there for sure. And the facilities at Oregon in every sport is just second to none, as we've seen. It's really cool to see all the, you know, when they talk about the facility wars, I think Oregon launches a lot of those because they get such cool stuff for their athletes up there. This is the last weekend before you dive into Pac-12 play. How does the team feel about that? And kind of, you know, what makes the Pac-12 such a juggernaut of a conference to go through?
Well, we've been working through some things as a team, just figuring things out, especially at the plate right now, and how we can get all three cylinders of our game in line. And I think we've the past couple of weekends, we've learned a lot of things and overcome a lot of things and just made tremendous strides, especially this past week in North Carolina. So I think we have a really good head on our shoulders right now, and we're really pumped to go into pack play starting at Utah next weekend. So I think just trusting each other and really sticking with one another is what's going to be the best for us, and just creating energy through each other.
Hannah, how did you get into softball? Kind of give us a little bit, you know, just how your route to softball started as a kid.
I started playing t-ball when I was 4. One of my cousins I'm super close with, she played softball. She went to a college in Florida, and she's just always been a big role model for me. And I decided to give it a try. And I stuck with it because I really loved it. The only other sport I've ever really played was one season of basketball, and just was not for me. So I just decided to stick with softball. And I found out that it's the sport that I just fell in love with. And I felt like I had good talent and that I can achieve anything I wanted to through that sport. And from there, I just kind of took off and focused on it, worked really hard at it, and met a lot of people through it, and it's just been the biggest blessing for me.
Well, I know you got to get out of here because you got practice coming up, so really glad you were able to jump on here. So we'll leave you with this. Was there any player that you grew up kind of as a player, you were a role model for you, that you really inspired you or idolized when you were a kid?
Yeah, I would definitely say there's a couple. Alyssa Palomino, who is our volunteer assistant coach right now, actually. I looked up to her a lot. And especially because she came from the same travel ball club as me. I've definitely learned a lot from her. And I think two players from Oregon, actually, Jenna Lilly and Nikki Dre, or Coach Reagan, I should say. But those were definitely some people that really stood out to me, and just like the grit they had when they were playing. Just everything they put out on the field really stood out to me and inspired me a lot as I was coming up.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that you get to see some of them in person now and kind of, you know, get to learn from them. So we know you're heading out to practice because you guys got a big weekend ahead of you with Oregon hosting home opener.
Yes.
So thank you so much for taking some time, and we'll definitely have you back as the season goes on, and watch out for those bats up there if you're in the stands, because there might be some balls in your way after this last weekend. So,
yeah.
Thanks again, Hannah. I appreciate it. Good luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, and welcome back to the D1 Softball Podcast. We are joined by the two co-founders of Bat Club USA, Eric Rico and Oscar Llerena. Hopefully I said that last name right. I think we've gone over it.
You nailed it. She nailed it.
Welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about Bat Club USA. You all started this back in 2016, and Rhea and I both know, just to get into the sport of softball and baseball, it's a huge money ticket item. And you provided a service that allows kids to actually get into the sport at less than $20 a month. So talk to me a little bit about how you founded Bat Club USA and what was behind it.
Yeah, so Oscar, I'll take this one. So I played collegially at Cornell, played a little bit in the Blue Jays system for 4 years. And I grew up with a baseball family. My grandfather played in the Negro Leagues with the Kansas City Monarchs as a teenager immigrating from Cuba. Softball is a big part of my family too. My sister was an all-state softball player. They won a state championship, a couple actually. So, you know, we've been around the games for a really long time. And when I was done playing, I stayed away from the game. Just, you know, your dreams get dashed and your career's over, and it's just a tough pill to swallow sometimes, right? So I go into corporate America trying to figure out what I'm gonna do, and then my first son is born. So I have 4 kids, and my oldest is now 13. But of course, when he was born, every person in my family put a bat in his hand, right? So everybody's like, oh, he's gonna be baseball player. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. So, of course, the second he turns 5, we sign up for a coach pitch league, the league I played at growing up, and I started looking for a bat. And my jaw dropped when I saw that there were bats for 5 and 6-year-olds that were more expensive than the bats I used in college. So then I started thinking about my experience. We were a lower middle class family that had some financial trouble, and baseball opened up some amazing doors for me. So what would have happened to me if I would have been in today's game and gotten priced out of the game? And now I'm 12 years old and my parents can't really afford the best equipment, can't afford to travel. And I don't have the great doors that I had open for me because of baseball, because I got priced out of it. So I started trying to think of a way that we could make the best equipment affordable to everyone, and not the most expensive, but just the perfect equipment for you. So that's where I came up with the idea for Bat Club USA. Oscar and I have been lifelong friends, literally since kindergarten, first grade, and we played high school baseball together. So he was the first person I went to, knowing his technical and marketing background. We were met in his in-laws' ranch in Bandera, Texas, kind of plotted stuff out. We launched the site in 2016, just as kind of a test and proof of concept. I had a little academy at the time. So just with some of the kids that I had and the league we were playing in, just to see, you know, what it would look like. And we got a good response, really started ramping things up early 2017. And it's been awesome ever since. You know, baseball, softball, whatever it may be, we just know the equipment's really expensive and people have really loved what we've been providing.
So it started in, sounds like, Bandera, Texas. I want to know what happened in Bandera, Texas during this meeting. You came together, you talked about it. So Oscar, when Eric called you, what was your initial reaction? Were you thinking, oh, this is a great idea? Or like, oh, this is another crazy idea from.
Well, so it's interesting. We didn't know what we were going to do to start with, right? Like, we knew what we wanted to do conceptually, but we didn't know how we were going to get there. And so, I don't know, 4 or 5 beers later, 2 a.m. in the morning on a weekend evening, after running around with kids all day, we basically just sat there and go, what could we do? I mean, and, you know, we had gone through the permutations of, like, can we buy it and sell it? Well, we can't go below this price. Well, can we do this and that? And then Eric's playing with his new iPhone. He's like, yeah, I just got this iPhone. I'm just, you know, just paying it monthly. I just swapped the other one. I'm like, what if we did that? He's like, I don't know if they'll let us do that. I don't care. Go ask them. So he goes back to the first manufacturer that wanted to work with us. I'm not going to name names just in case. And they walked Eric out of the room. And they're like, yeah, you can try this, but you're nuts. It's never going to work. Literally, that's what they told him. Like, oh, yeah, we'll let you try. We'll give you a line of credit. Go ahead. But it's never going to work. And so Eric and I kind of went through the motions, started asking his parents. And by the time January of 2017 came, we had a waiting list of like 50 people saying, when can we join? And I said, okay, this is something. We got it. We have something on our hands here. We got to figure this out. And in January, $200 budget for the month, I launched an ad on Facebook, very plain Jane ad, because I was not a designer. You know, I could do the marketing, but if you ask me to create a beautiful design, I need help. Put it on site. And from that year, we went from 15 to 1500 by December. And we went, oh no, what are we going to do now? Like, this is real. It was great. It was awesome.
That's so cool.
And Reed, awesome. You've actually had experience working with Bat Club USA. What is your thoughts in terms of your experience?
Yeah. And it's funny. Cause like I had no, this didn't blend over at all. I had no idea until you told us, until you told me. And I'm like, wow, I've actually worked with them before. I, on the side, as we talked about in the previous podcast, I run a nonprofit called Kids for Greatness that provides sports equipment to low-income kids. And so obviously baseball and softball are huge sports that I try to help, because the as Eric was saying, the cost just for one bat is ridiculous for some families and some programs. So I think Good for Greatness had tweeted something, and Eric sent me a DM like a few seconds later, like, hey, we can help. So we talked, it was like two months ago about, I think, Eric, and he offered to kind of do a monthly package of 5 baseball bats, 5 softball bats. And I help one of the programs that I help, whether it be a Title I high school. We just helped a softball program in Natchez, Mississippi, where the coach was literally in tears on the phone with me because they don't get bats that are that high quality. And then we just shipped out something to Baltimore yesterday. They did for us. So, they're not only do they help families, but they also give back even for free, which just shows you that their commitment is, you know, it's not just something they say, it's truly, because this had nothing to do with anything with D1 softball. It was just he sent me a DM. So, and it's been a blessing. And we're hoping to do more in the future, but the programs that benefit And the kids, those kids don't get to get those bats usually. And that could be the difference between them, you know, staying in the sport and maybe playing in college. And some of the players you see now could be ones that could be because of those bats and that ability for that program to exist, be able to be the next stars or just at least further their education and better their lives. So really grateful for what they did for us. And I know that they're doing the same for a lot of other families around the country.
Yeah. Thank you, Rhea. I mean, we really just want to make sure we can essentially
grow the game.
As many people as possible, right? Open up the right doors, you know, for those kids that do have or programs that do need more. Like we want to be a resource to as much as we can. We know there's a social component to it, but we also know how awesome these teams are. Running bat club, I can't tell you how many lessons I took from the game of baseball, and you could put in softball, that I apply here all the time. And there's a reason why, in my opinion, kids that grow up playing baseball and softball are more likely to be successful than any other athletes, because where else do you learn to deal with failure, right? Like literally you fail 7 out of 10 times and people think you're really good. Or if you're a major leaguer, even great, right? Like, so you build this kind of, I like to describe it as irrational confidence, that I can literally do anything. I do that to my 13-year-old team all the time. I just have irrational confidence. This kid's throwing 1,000,000 miles an hour from 45 feet. I could hit him. People will look at you like, what? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I can hit him. Right? Like there's no room for negativity. Everything is like, yeah, absolutely. Let's go. I can do it. And, oh, you struck me out this time. That's right. I'm going to get you again. You strike me out a second time, that's okay. I'm going to get you next time. And you know what? I get one hit out of 10. On my 10th at bat. Oh, I got his number now. I got him now, right? Like you have this irrational thing going on that you can succeed at anything. And I think it's just so helpful. It has been great for me in the business aspect.
So that irrational confidence, you're supplying kids with irrational confidence by allowing them to have the bats that give
absolutely. Confidence. Absolutely. You got to do it. You got to do it, because what's the one thing that most kids look at first is, well, how do the other kids look? They don't, before they even get on the field, they're looking at them like, oh my God, they got nicer uniforms.
Yep.
Oh, he's got the new bat. Oh, he's going to hit that ball a long way. Oh, I better step back 4 feet just because of the bat he has in his hand, because I think he's going to hit it harder. Right. Yep. And if we can level the playing field and say, it's not about the equipment anymore, it really is about your skill, then we've won. And it's not even, and you know, it is about growing the game of baseball. You know, we do the nonprofit, and the day that we met, we said, we got to have a nonprofit piece of this. Mm-hmm. We got to have a piece to help. It's not only about making money. It's about how can we give back to the community? What can we do there? And so we really do. We thought about it ever since our initial charter of like, you know, we're going to do our subscription service. We're going to sell bats, but we're also going to give back to the community somehow to make sure that everybody has access. And this game doesn't go away that we grew up on. And we think, can really help kids along the way.
So Eric, Oscar, how can people get in touch with you? Go on the website. What's the best way for them to potentially become a member of Bat Club USA? They just go on the website. Tell us, our listeners, how they can do that.
Yeah, you can just go to batclubusa.com. Yeah, batclubusa.com. That's it. That's it. We both want to jump at it. Like,
oh yeah, my God, yeah. And you know what? We're going to create a coupon, D1 softball. Just put that in at checkout and we'll give you 20% off your first order. So that's a good start there. And then also, if you really want to see the fun side of us, follow Bat Club Fam on TikTok, because we have a new TikTok star. I'm not going to name names, but he's the guy in the bottom left corner of my screen. He thinks he is the man on TikTok. So I need some feedback from your audience to tell him what he needs to change real quick.
Hey, listen, Oscar's wife described it really well. And she meant this as a compliment. So I'm going to take it as a compliment. She said, Eric, you have the humor of a 12-year-old boy. And I think I'm going to take that in a positive way. So hey, the Bat Club Fam TikTok properly reflects that. I'm doing it predominantly with my 13-year-old. We're having a really good time. We're going to start shooting some additional bat review videos on the baseball side. And something that we'll be looking at in the near future is getting softball bat reviews up and things like that, and finding players so we can help really just give better recommendations on what's going to be the best bat for every player.
Absolutely. And we did do a couple of bat reviews this past year with some of the Athletes Unlimited players as well. So they're up on our YouTube site. So
yes,
social plug there as well.
Great. All right, so head on over to TikTok at Bat Club Fam, right?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, at the Bat Club Fam.
Let us know. We'll get some reviews from the softball world on what they think of Bat Club Fam. YouTube channel, Bat Club. Go to the website, batclubusa.com.
Correct. D1 softball at checkout, and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Hey, Oscar, we'll just let you do the show. Go on then.
Hey, I'd love to help. I'd love to jump in. You know, Eric is long-winded, so if I get a word in, I got to make sure I can take advantage of that. So got to do my can.
That's true.
This is the healthy banter we have, by the way, just in case.
If anyone out there does have questions, they forget all that, just give any of us, Tara, me, D1 softball, we'll put you in touch. We'll figure it out. There's plenty of us here where we can all direct you to the right place. I would definitely suggest doing all of the above and give us reviews too. We'll definitely, you know, we can solicit feedback, see how your experience was, because it's a great thing and we want to grow it more.
Awesome.
Absolutely. And you can find us on Instagram too, by the way.
You Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, anything
all
else?
Channels. Facebook.
If you want to really
Facebook. Facebook. You got the older ones like me, the Facebook cronies in there.
There you go.
We're still there.
There's a good audience there. They pay the bills sometimes for those kids. So that's where right. You're getting.
Yeah. All right. Well, Oscar, Eric, thank you so much for joining Rhea and I on the D1 Softball Podcast. We look forward to continuing this fun partnership, and hopefully we'll have you back on in the podcast. Maybe we can have a little bit of a TikTok review for this back.
Let's do it.
I'm here for it. Bat reviews, any of that stuff. We are here. I love it. So you let us know.
All right, wonderful. Thanks so much for joining us on the D1 Softball Podcast.
Thanks, ladies.
Great to have Hannah Delgado and Oscar and Eric from Bat Club USA. Fun-filled, packed podcast for the week. And Bree, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I loved, you know, talking to Hannah about just Oregon and kind of just what their offense really focuses on, their at-bats and kind of how they approach their at-bats. And then hearing the guys from Bat Club and what they're doing to try to bring more affordable softball and baseball to families across the country, which is, you know, a huge thing. And you know that we're both passionate about that, to make sure that there's an entry point for everyone. You don't have to spend, you know, your whole paycheck on one bat for your kid. So really cool to be partnering with them. And I know we'll be having, you know, a few different things in the future with them as well, but it was pretty cool to hear how they got it started with the, you know, a whole session in Texas with a beer and just kind of rolling through business ideas. But what it's become has been amazing, and I know it's just going to grow better, and it's really cool to have them sponsoring this podcast.
Yeah. So if you go to batclubusa.com, use D1 softball to get 20% off the first subscription with Bat Club USA. Again, that's D1 softball. And we talked earlier a little bit about opening week for the SEC. It's also opening night. I don't know if you saw this, Ree, on Twitter, but Vin Scully's granddaughter is a rookie right-handed pitcher for Seattle U. And he put up just the sweetest video today, wishing them like best wishes for Seattle University for their home opener. Did you see that?
I didn't see that. Now I got to go see that. I was writing most of the day and trying to kind of stay off a little bit because I get distracted easily with social media, but that's awesome.
You gotta see it.
I have to see it because Vin and I, you know what? I mean, this is probably way. If Vin could do one of their games, like, that would be epic. I know he probably can't. It's probably just wishful thinking. But for us that grew up, you know, listening to Vin and his storytelling weaved in, it's just, that would be amazing. And that's so cool that he's doing that, because that's going to bring so much attention to the program. And good program, needed attention that, you know, nationally worthy. So that's awesome. I'm going to check that out as soon as we get off.
Yes, it's, I just tweeted it. It's Seattle, you put it up. It is, honestly, Ree, you're going to love it. I loved it. Big Dodger fan. I know you're a big Vin Scully fan. And it would be absolutely amazing if we could ever have him do any softball game, mind you. Maybe he could just make a guest appearance at the Women's College World Series.
He could always come on our podcast too.
Yeah. I mean,
that's an option. Like, we would make room. I mean, Vin, we'd make room for you, Vin. You could do the whole thing. I mean, we'd make plenty of room. I mean, he could talk about Fordham. We've done Fordham stories. That's where he, you know, his voice began at Fordham. So I'd be happily introduce him to the softball world. We'd love it. You know, we'll come to him if needed.
All right. Well, we'll send him maybe an invitation to jump on the podcast. We'll see if we can get him on here. That's it for the D1 Softball podcast. Head on over to the website, d1softball.com. Like, subscribe, and do us a favor. Head on over and subscribe to the site. We've got loads of content. We've got notebooks. We've got, you know, the Daily Dozen. We've got previews. We've got all kinds of analysis. And our D1 Players Society, all of our athletes are contributing, and they're incredible stories. Peyton St. George just had one up. We had Sydney Sherrill, Camille Navarro, Kiki Malloy. So head on over to the site. Ree, any final thoughts for the week?
No, just another, I'm getting geared up. The games start, you know, they, like we said, they never end. So they're tonight, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm really excited to get conference play where everyone's playing in conference. It's a little easier to kind of figure out, and yep. And we really get to see what every team's made of. So we're starting to get there, but wishing you a safe trip to Hawaii there.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah. You can get there and do the whole, you know, the touristy thing, but you're going to be watching softball too much. yeah, that's beautiful. I'm excited to see, you know, what you get out of that, and Alo's home run chase and everything. So safe travels there, and we'll be sure to be back here to hear all about it. You got to save all your stories for the podcast next week.
Yeah, I'll try my best. All right, well, that's it. Tara Henry, Rhiannon Pocky for the D1 Softball podcast. We'll see you next week.